All right, here we go. Hour number two, and it's Jeff and Erica for this hour. We're going to explore some more issues having to do with shedding. And if you'll notice, even in the alt community, news-wise, there's not much being discussed about COVID right now. The mainstream media and the news that is being ground out night and day by the so-called friendly press is really dominating things. And watch, I think there are several large things just around the corner which are going to continue to suppress coverage about COVID, both the virus and the injection to protect you from the virus. Ha-ha. And all of these things that are going on, ALS, CJD, which we were the first to really push the issue of prions being potentially the final card in the game. The prion infestation of the brain and the body, that's it, done. ALS, also done. Shedding, how dangerous is shedding? Well, we know from several people who have made it quite clear that shedding does transmit the spike protein and the mRNA instructions. We'll just call them the instructions for fun. So if you're around someone who has been heavily infected or injected or both, they are going to be shedding. And if they cough, if they exhale in your face, you are going to inhale it. That is a fact. Will it necessarily stick in your physiology and begin your long spiral down and out? Can't tell you. But we think it's well worth worrying about. And we like the idea of wearing masks and even lightweight little gloves in the grocery store. So, you know, take it for what it's worth and you make your own decisions. All we can do is offer the information. And we are glad to see it often popping up in other places, on other forums, which is very good. The idea is to get this out to as many people who are out there who want to know, who want to have the best information they can get to make the best decisions to help protect them and their loved ones. And that's the truth. Are you ready, kiddo?
I think so.
What have you been doing?
Well,
did you ever open that laundromat you were talking about?
I know. I should, huh? Doing a lot of laundry these days.
You never know. Okay. We mentioned Canada and Canada's health service in the past. I mentioned it earlier tonight. Trump's plan is to somehow acquire Canada as the 53rd state or states of these formerly United States, which Trump is promising to reformat, and the golden age of America is about to commence. That's what he's saying. He said it again today in his news conference or yesterday. So we'll see. We'll see. Dr. William Mackus is one of the most well-spoken in the COVID awareness movement, I'll call it. And he is certainly someone who we have presented many times. He's going to talk in just a minute or two about the idea of shedding and turbo cancer and other things as well. But the idea of Canada becoming a United State, the 53rd, 51st, it could be 53, though, because it's Canada's well big enough. If you look at overlay Texas on Canadian territory, how many more states could there be? Okay, quite a number, actually. So we'll see. The Canadians don't want to give up their health care because it's free. And every Western advanced country should have free health care. They can all afford it for their people. But they don't. And I mean they, I should say we don't. We're the only one who doesn't. So the Canadians would probably fight joining America primarily on the issue of losing their health care system. That would be understandable. But beyond that, Trump raised several issues today about how the Canadians are manufacturing cars for American retail use, and they're making lots of money. They're actually using our military to protect themselves for the most part. They have a very small military, and they're actually the recipients of, what did he say, $200 to $300 billion a year in American military security for Canada. How's that? All right. So There are things that argue well, I think, on both sides of that particular street, and it would be interesting to see how North America would become one country, and maybe that's where it needs to go. The Gulf of Mexico is being renamed the Gulf of America, which I think is very pragmatic and logical. The Panama Canal should never have been given to Panama, in my view, and I hope that we do take possession of it again. However, it has to happen, because the Chinese are there on both ends of it now, right now, running it. And we can't allow that to continue, frankly. The idea of Greenland becoming a U.S. territory or perhaps a state is one that I think is quite conceivable. Donald Trump Jr. is there right now tonight. But again, these are just some of the things that are occupying the news headlines, not COVID. And COVID is never more worthy as a primary topic than it is right now. But it's just not getting the coverage. It's people, the sheep, are easy to distract, easy to maneuver, easy to misdirect. It's just not a problem. Ivermectin for sale, $3 a capsule. Of course, the smart people buy it from India. Well, you can get it for much less than that. But it is available, and it is that and fenbendazole, without question, top of the list, number one and number two, most vital repurposed drugs for fighting cancer. Ivermectin and fenbendazole, and we've talked about that as well. Tell us a little, by the way, what are your thoughts on Canada if they could get some kind of equitable health care becoming part of the U.S.? You're up in that neck of the woods. Well, how would that play to the American public? What do you think, just for kicks, for a minute or so? What do you think?
Well, I don't really have any objections to it. I mean, right. We have a number of Canadians that come down to this area, you know, routinely. So it's not a surprise to see them here. I mean, at this point, what's happening in Canada, I would be willing to sacrifice to help them out.
I think the Canadians, many of them, many of you in Canada listening right now, I think a lot of them would support it. I think they'd like that idea. I don't think they liked Trudeau or anything about him or what's happened to their country. I'm sure most doctors there who are honorable people like Dr. Mackus and others would very much like to get the onus of their whole horror of a healthcare dynasty taken off of their necks. It's not good. Not good situation. Okay, set this up with Dr. Mackus. What's he going to tell us?
Well, again, he's an oncologist, radiologist-oncologist, so his forte is cancer. And this is another interview where he's speaking about not only the horrific vax injuries, but now this looming risk of cancer that may actually be contagious, spreadable.
In fact, all indications are that it is. It's pointing that
possibly.
Way.
Possibly. I mean, if we can nail down what the cancer-causing component of it is, if it's just a spike, that appears to be enough to set the stage for cancer in a number of ways. If the mRNA is coming along for the ride with exosomes, we haven't actually demonstrated that has happened yet. In other words, can a vax person transmit the actual mRNA to an unvax and have that mRNA be uptaken and read and translated into spike proteins?
Well, Stephanie Seneff said yes, affirmatively.
It appears that the potential is there, yes. But has it been demonstrated? No. But, it's a gene therapy. It sheds not only the expression product, meaning the spike in this case, but also microRNAs, which control your gene expression, and possibly the entire transcript of the messenger RNA, which would code for the whole spike protein. And now we have to be concerned about the DNA plasmids that are also in these things that may be taken up either by your cells or by your bacteria, your microbiome.
Mm-hmm. See, that's another thing that's getting next to no attention. No attention.
Well, not in the mainstream news, but certainly in the alternative news, that's getting some attention. Maybe.
Yeah, but the majority of people, they don't watch the alt news. They still look at the same garbage.
There is still resistance in mainstream world to acknowledge that these vaccines are harming people. I mean, I had an acquaintance a week or so ago that came out publicly, and for the first time, he'd been keeping this, rather close to the vest, so to speak, and he finally announced it on his social media page that what had happened to him as a result of these vaccines. And there were actually people, many were very sympathetic and understanding, but there were a few people that said, basically, too bad. Worked for me. There must be something wrong with
you. I remember you read those. You read some of those to me. I think
I have it in our readers somewhere. If we can stumble upon it, we can read it. But it's really at this stage of the game, you have to be living in a cave not to know how dangerous and harmful these things are.
What is the best way to become infected with the bioweapon virus? Take the shots. It's almost a guarantee you're going to get it.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's really crazy and getting crazier out there. But the news, it's like a faucet. You turn it on and have this kind of story percolate everywhere. You can turn it off and that goes away. And they got 8 or 10 different taps you can turn off and on. Watch out. Watch very carefully this upcoming January 20th. The big day. I'm not convinced we're going to get past this. I think the communists have been awfully quiet here in this country. I'm a little bit concerned about that. I don't know what they may have planned. Trump, of course, has to meet with Judge Mershon first to get sentenced for that idiotic conviction. So we'll see. We'll see. But he could be sentenced to prison and ordered taken to prison right out of court. We'll see. All right. This is from we're going to play a little clip from something called the TFM Report. I don't know this particular platform. It only has 897 followers. They had William Mackus on for an hour and a half. I don't know how that's quite a long time. They actually had Dr. Lee Merritt on for an hour and 47 minutes. Recently,
a lot of these I've noticed, and in the last year or so, a lot of these, what would you call them, podcasts or videos, have gone from being 40 minutes to an hour, and now they're 2 hours and more.
I don't know who would agree to an interview that long. I would never ask anybody to do an interview that long. I used to interview people for 2 hours, sometimes three. But that was many years ago, and they were very, very solid people. Not that these aren't. But you're right, that the length of the interview seems to be extending as an average.
Well, for the people watching it, it's a time suck, and there's a lot of information to keep up with, and then you get into these pigeonholes with...
I mean, the key things that most of these guests have to present wouldn't take them an hour and a half, sorry. They could probably crank it out in 15 to 20 minutes, all the high points, and let you do your own research and follow-up. So anyhow, this is the TFM report. I don't know what this is. So we're going to jump in with Dr. William Mackus about shedding and turbo cancer. There we go. Oh, I know this is going to be a commercial. Damn it. Hold on. All right, there goes one. That's gone. And here's the other one, I think.
Brace yourself for this beast of a lens, military grade. And
everybody's selling these.
Dude, you got to hear about pushing the double jab with the two Band-Aids.
Yeah. Military grade monoculars. You have one of those, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do they work?
Quite well.
So maybe I should get one. All right. Here we go with Dr. William Mackus.
Yeah, right after getting $20 million from Pfizer. Yes.
Wow.
And so that's how they've tried to remarket the vaccine, because they, you know, their thinking was, well, if we can at least get half the population of the United States to take it along with their flu shots, because the public trusts the flu shots, then we're in the clear and we can keep pumping out these jabs, you know, every 6 months or every year. That could be a new version of it. And, you know, they'll have that money-making thing going, but it didn't work. You know, the remarketing effort didn't work. But these technologies are absolutely horrific. And I think, so that's why they're all pouring money into cancer. They know the tsunami of cancers is coming.
Yeah.
We're actually kind of, we're already in it.
Right.
And that's where they're going to make their money next.
Exactly. But, right. They don't really have to do another campaign of take your shots, because the next campaigns right now are, you know, Bill C-293 and Alberta's Bill of Rights. And once they mandate that, once it's legislated, that's it, you have to do it. Too bad, so sad for you. There is no court option to fight it. There is no exemptions. So they don't really have to do another campaign right now because they're already doing the legislation. So when the next one comes down, bam, the WHO said it, so we've already handed over that we're going to trust the guidance of the WHO. Therefore, it is now legislated, and you have to do it. So there is no more, you know, come and we'll put on a DJ and we'll give you ice cream and, hey, there's a lottery, you can win a lot of money. There's not going to be any more bonus programs to getting it. It's just going to be you either get it or you go to the capacity buildings that we've now built and now have staffed.
You're absolutely right. The next phase of this will be mandated shots. There's no question about that, and you're absolutely correct. They've put in the legislation. This is where I get extremely frustrated with Alberta Premier Danielle Smith, even though she's doing some good things. Where I get really frustrated with Danielle Smith and the UCP government in general is that they have the ability and the time right now, and the window is very short.
Mm-hmm.
The window is very short. They have the ability to clean out the system of all the people that are in public health, that are at the heads of the hospitals or the health authorities in general, who are all leftists. They're all loyal to the Trudeau government. They all vote NDP, and they are all beholden to the WHO, to the United Nations, to the WEF, and they will be the ones force injecting us or telling us that we have to take our shots or else. And AHS, Alberta Health Services, which is the largest healthcare provider in Canada and probably in North America, their entire leadership is on board with mandating shots. They're ready. They're ready to go. I mean, the moment the WHO declares another pandemic, these guys are ready to go. We have a public health official who basically built his entire career under Rachel Notley, under NDP. And he's the public health chief. And when there was evidence, and Dina Hinshaw was actually deleting this evidence from the government computers. That's why she was hired in BC to be Bonnie Henry's deputy chief, public health chief, after she committed her crimes in Alberta. Dina Hinshaw was hiding evidence of vaccine injury so that Alberta could roll out the booster shots. And at that time, Dr. Mark Joffe, who was vice president of Alberta Health Services, said, don't walk, run to get your booster shot. And they knew that the double vaccinated were getting injured and were suffering immune system injury, that getting a booster shot would only make things worse for them. He is now our current public health chief under Danielle Smith.
Okay, hold on a second.
He's a raging leftist, far left extremist.
I think you got it queued
ready
up
to
the
go
wrong
with pushing, you know, vaccines and vaccine mandates.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting here.
This is not good news. If Canada is getting ready to force inject people, how much further behind are we? Probably not much. I would really worry about that. Hold on one second here. I'm going to back this up because there's a piece I missed. Let me get this put back in.
Yeah, I think you got little ahead of where we should have started with this.
Computer
2927.
Okay, let me back this up just a little. 29. All right, here, let's try this. Here we go.
As I I know immediately when I'm in a room full of people who have had vaccinations. It doesn't even have to be full of one person in my vehicle. And I immediately start having all these crazy reactions. And our dog had reactions and ended up with myocarditis and all of that sort of stuff. But do we know, or have we seen yet, people who are unvaccinated now coming in with turbo cancers from partners that are vaccinated, or being in close quarters with people who are vaccinated? Have we seen that yet, or are we even looking at that yet?
Key question, maybe the most important question being generally asked by people right now: how dangerous is the potential of shedding?
I can tell you, so first of all, shedding is extremely difficult to study, extremely difficult to quantify. Obviously, in terms of mainstream medicine, is completely denying the phenomenon even exists, even though Pfizer admits it exists in their approval documents. They call it environmental exposure of their product through inhalation or skin contact. They literally say that in their documentation, and they were worried about pregnant women, that if pregnant women who are unvaccinated were exposed to their product through shedding, and that was either primary shedding where their partner was vaccinated, or secondary shedding, which was their partner was unvaccinated, but he was at work surrounded by vaccinated people and then came home and exposed his wife. And apparently that exists as well, that there was a danger to the pregnant woman even if your partner was unvaccinated, but he was exposed. So it's kind of like a secondary shedding effect. So all of these things, Pfizer knows it's happening. They're extremely difficult to study. I don't know anyone who's sort of trying to quantify shedding. So it's very, very difficult. It's a very difficult topic to study. And of course, the scientists and doctors are all discouraged from even thinking about shedding, let alone studying it.
Right.
But I can tell you, so the question you ask is a very important question. It's a question I get asked a lot. And I've been looking very hard for the signals. And I don't have an answer right now. If it's happening, it might be happening.
Right.
I'm hoping if it's happening, I'm hoping that it's rare, but it might be happening. And here's where it sort of comes to the research that Kevin McKernan and others are doing. Kevin McKernan, David Speaker, Philip Buchholz, these geneticists who are actually sequencing this stuff from people and trying to identify integration events, but now also sequencing what were the DNA plasmids that were in these vaccines. Because apparently there were more than one different types. There were multiple types.
Multiple types in the vaccines of DNA plasmids. Those are little individual functional. I think it's fair to say they're integrative into your own DNA. And how many DNA plasmids in each vaccine is the range? Anywhere from 200 to 400 billion, B as in billion, pieces of DNA in each injection that can find its way, theoretically, and apparently it's been proven now or demonstrated, it can integrate into your own DNA and cause changes in your entire DNA profile, one way or the other, depending upon how many you get stuck with and how many actually start functioning in your DNA system. We'll call it a system. Any quick comment on this for us?
Yeah, so those are the little bits of DNA that were chopped up, because the plasmids themselves are circular. And
They're not linear. I got it.
Right. So they made an attempt to chop them up. They have to chop them up anyway to get the particular transcript for the mRNA. But then there were some full circular plasmids left, and those can be uptaken by bacteria, because that's a bacterial genome, a plasmid, but also by, you know, mammalian cells, and it has that SV promoter in it, which is unique to enabling it to replicate inside of a mammal cell, human, animal.
That's SV40.
And they have actually, so this makes this plasmid compatible with replicating in a human being. didn't have to be that way. They could have used a promoter that was unique to bacteria that couldn't be read or translated or acted upon by human cells, but nonetheless. And the most recent development is that Kevin McKernan has confirmed that some tissue biopsies he's received or analyzed from cancer patients actually have the plasmids in them. They are replicating. And not just replicating, but mutating.
Integrating.
No, not integrating, but mutating.
I didn't hear this. They're mutating. They're functional to begin with, and they're mutating into God knows what.
Well, they're just changing their genome to adapt to their environment and to be able to keep replicating. But they were inside of these, you know, biopsies of cancer cells or cancer tumors.
We should also mention the microbiome at this point. The idea, let's go over this again and make sure everybody's on the right page, the same page with us. The microbiome, your digestive bacteria, every adult has about 7 pounds of bacteria in their digestive tract to break down the food and distribute the nutrients through the wall of the digestive tract into the bloodstream and theoretically on to the points that it's needed. All these different nutrients. Now, if the bacteria in the microbiome, in your digestive tract, is somehow invaded and taken over by either the spike or the mRNA, how do you correct that?
Or the plasmids.
How do you correct that?
Yeah, that's a real good question. You know, the one who's doing the most work on that, at least publicly, is Sabine Hazen, who's, I guess she's a gastroenterologist, but that's her field of research.
And, this is bad. This is bad because if shedding is as efficient as we think it is, virtually everyone can run into a situation where they're going to be dosed by the plasmids and by the spike and by the mRNA, and it'll get into their digestive tract where all this bacteria is just waiting to be invaded and co-opted and reprogrammed, reformatted, if you will. And my question was, how do you correct that? And there's no answer for it yet. There really isn't.
Well, you know, Christina Parks, who we played last week, said that there are things you can take, nutraceuticals, fucoidin being one of them, that will help keep the digestive tract free of spike to some extent. Fucoidin, which is that brown seaweed extract, is known to bind very tightly to spike. So if you can prevent it from at least getting into you that way, that's some measure of precaution you can take.
Let's say you can't. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I don't know. What are the consequences? We don't know. All of this is speculative right now.
Right.
You know, exactly. There are byproducts of having the spike in you that are also quite toxic. You know, the spike is it's a toxic protein. It disrupts.
It's catastrophically diverse in what it does.
And one of the things it does is it wrecks your body's ability to deal with these toxic things known as aldehydes. Now, you produce these from your own metabolism. Mm-hmm. Your gut microbiome, depending on how healthy it is, can produce a lot of these, and aldehydes are very toxic. So you can have a gut full of yeast and pathogenic bacteria that are producing aldehyde, and if the spike is around, you're going to have a real problem dealing with this, because the spike inhibits this enzyme called aldehyde dehydrogenase, and you have many of those, and if you can't detoxify that, you're going to have multiple chemical sensitivity, which is why I think we're seeing so many people who have become sensitive to smells. And, that's a consequence of having this protein, this noxious protein, present in the body.
And that noxious protein was carefully created in human labs. Maybe there was help from non-human intelligence.
Well, it's awfully convenient to have these features.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's go back and listen to Dr. Mackus for just a little bit more.
That Pfizer apparently has not even disclosed ever. And so once they figure out what's in these vaccines, we may actually discover, and again, I highly recommend, the video hasn't come out yet, but I highly recommend looking at the talk that took place in Arizona on November 9th at CHD, because Kevin talks about it, that there is a potential that we have a situation where, I don't know how to put this best into the best language here, but there may be a carcinogen that is spreading through shedding because of the vaccine from the vaccinated and from the unvaccinated to the unvaccinated. And there may be a carcinogen on the loose. Now, it might be
THD. Back that up a little bit. Here we go.
Because Kevin talks about that, that there is a potential that we have a situation where, I don't know how to put this best into the best language here, but there may be a carcinogen that is spreading through shedding because of the vaccine from the vaccinated and from the unvaccinated to the unvaccinated. And there may be a carcinogen on the loose. Now, again, it might be a rare event. Mm-hmm. And it might be an unfortunate person. Like if you're exposed to someone who got a really bad lot,
right?
And then there's DNA contamination that's really bad in there, and then you got exposed to that through shedding, then there's a potential that you actually could get cancer from that. And that is scary, because imagine, you know, you took off.
This hearing aid is bringing people back into the conversation.
Hold on a second. That brings up the issue again of the idea something is causing this epidemic of turbo cancer. Something is causing it. Is this maybe what it is? I don't know. But there are a lot of people out there who are going down with cancer fast.
Mm, yeah.
All right, hold on.
Took and all right. The pressure to get vaccinated and losing jobs and all that. You know, lose your unemployment benefits and all of that. And then simply because you were exposed to someone who had a bad vaccine lot, you develop cancer. That's a whole level of horror that I think the public is not even ready for yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that no one's really talking about. But I think that danger is there. I'm not seeing a lot of it. I'm seeing some suspicious cancers in the unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
I'm seeing some suspicious cancers in the unvaccinated. Now, Mackus is a rather conservative. He doesn't go out on a limb quickly and easily. So for him to say that, it's very interesting.
Just sort of, it's hard to pinpoint it to shedding exposure.
Right.
But it may be happening. I'm hoping these are rare events.
Well, I'm hoping so, too, because like you said, you take these great pains to protect yourself and do the research and do all the right things, only to have it jump on you anyway from somebody else who didn't take the same pains.
But this is the danger of this technology. I was in Japan with Dr. Robert Malone and Dr. Ryan Cole. Right. And a bunch of other doctors, again, warning the Japanese media and the Japanese parliament, mm-hmm. the Japanese government, about the self-amplifying mRNA vaccines that they approved on October 1st.
Self-replicating, not amplifying, replicating. Not good, not smart.
Rolled out in the Japanese population. Now they're rolling it out in the elderly. But these are vaccines that can basically amplify the mRNA, have the ability to amplify the mRNA in your own body. So now you're not just a spike protein factory, which is what the original vaccines were, but now you're an mRNA factory as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's unknown quantity of mRNA that you produce, and obviously an unknown quantity of spike protein that you produce. And again, the danger there is that if you shed this thing, Now you're shedding something that has an ability to replicate itself in the recipient.
Right.
And again, this, you know, raises the potential of spreading through the population, affecting the unvaccinated, affecting kids, so that children could be exposed to this. And, you know, the government was saying, well, we're only rolling it out in the elderly. Now, they didn't do any animal testing on this next generation of mRNA vaccines. They did a small human study in Vietnam, which is very sketchy. It was a very sketchy study as well.
Right.
Pfizer studies tend to be sketchy in general. But they did a very small study, of course, over a very short period of time, and they didn't test for shedding. They didn't test for how much spike protein these people were producing, you know, how much mRNA they were producing. They didn't test for any of that. And when you brought up the fact that Pfizer has never tested for carcinogenicity or genotoxicity, these are the key problems with this platform. This entire mRNA lipid nanoparticle platform is it has not been tested for any kind of DNA damage that it might cause, which is genotoxicity, and of course the cancers that it might cause. And it's there's so much evidence that these vaccines are causing cancers. And this evidence is just going to continue to build and continue to be released as time goes on. And the big players have, like, they've already moved on from the vaccines in a way. I mean, they've, you know, they're going to keep pushing it on us.
Yeah.
Now, the vaccine uptake is very low, and they know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've tried to remarket the COVID vaccine in the past year with Taylor Swift's boyfriend, you know, pushing the double jab with the two Band-Aids.
Yeah.
Right after getting $20 million from Pfizer.
Okay, all true. Not good information. If, in fact, the unvaxxed are at that much risk, and I personally believe they probably are, all of us, and that includes yours truly and Erica, and many of you listening who did not get the shots, we're all in trouble. This is bad news. And he's being very careful with how he's laying this out. But if it is true that shedding is transmitting spike, DNA, plasmids, mRNA, and turbo cancer, why not ALS? Why not CJD as well?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we're at the mercy of time right now because really there's nobody studying it.
No, nobody. I don't think anybody wants to particularly.
Mm.
This is too, it's too much. It's too big. The money's not necessarily there to conduct all this research. And I don't know. What was it, the one tech in a French lab, young woman, was dealing with prions, and she stabbed herself. It was a stab injury or something.
It was a needle stick, yep.
Needle stick, and she's dead. Prions.
Took seven years, but yeah, she died. And I think right after that, they issued a moratorium on prion research.
That's right.
Live. Yeah.
They did.
It's no joke.
No.
And there's certainly an uptick in CJD, over the last few years. Now, you know, some of that might be attributed to the virus. I mean, there were certainly cases that people describe who were not vaxxed, and yet they developed CJD or ALS or Parkinson's.
Right.
You know, in some a time frame not that long after having had the infection.
Well, all right, there we go. Okay, let's jump into our reader files here for a few minutes. And anything else you want to add to that, the issue of shedding? Again, we know shedding is real. We just don't know by way of hard science how far and how wide and how diverse it is in the ability to shed and spread these catastrophically fatal diseases. Turbo cancer being one. If somebody comes out with information that ALS can be transmitted through shedding, that prion disease or CJD could be spread through shedding, I would expect a panic, except maybe because of the way that the media controls the sheep, there won't be. I don't know. But this is, we're really sitting on the edge of something that is far worse than we've been able to present to this point in time, which is coming on to our fourth year.
And the thing is, you know, you don't need a virus to make you sick. All you need is this protein. And maybe possibly even just a fragment of the protein.
We don't know.
It's that toxic.
And then there's that issue of some things that allegedly break down the spike in the body. And you mentioned this long ago. Okay, you break down the spike or somehow parse it out. And who's to say that each piece doesn't recover and regenerate into a full protein again?
So that's one of the drawbacks of trying to destroy it by various means instead of alternatively sticking something to it to reduce its biological activity. When you destroy it, what are you breaking it down into? Because some of these fragments
maybe
are
just as viable as the whole protein. We don't know. We don't know.
And I the whole MMS-CDS thing, I don't think is innocuous at all, because when you have hypochlorous acid, that's the cue for the neutrophils to release neutrophil elastase, which is an enzyme that cleaves the spike in the exact area that reveals that prion sequence.
That's right. You're right. I forgot about that. Too much to remember. So it breaks the spike open right to the prion sequences.
Yeah.
Exposing them.
Yeah.
To do their dirt.
Yeah.
Wow. And just remember, the body produces prions, but they're not in a catastrophically fatal configuration. They need to be reconfigured further, I guess. They get knocked over by the spike, which creates a real prion protein, a rogue protein, and that in turn goes on to knock over other proteins and turn them into prion proteins. And these things just proliferate fast, and they end up in the brain and any major organ system. But if they go to the brain, which they seem to like to do, it's called end-of-the-line time. It's CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
And don't forget, you know, the spike protein is all the more toxic when it's bound up with copper.
Oh, that's right.
And
okay.
There's so many people now who are still
on the copper bandwagon,
of the copper psyop. And I honestly believe at this point it is a psyop. Some of these influencers were put out there with a deliberate intent to push copper on the population.
If the people had any idea, go ahead.
The fallout of disease from this thing, there's no question. I mean, copper in and of itself, in excess, I mean, you do need a little bit. It's toxic. It's really hideously toxic. And the more copper you have on board, the more susceptible you're going to be to the electromagnetic frequencies. I mean, copper is extremely conductive. And I really get a kick out of these people who load themselves up on copper and then go plug themselves into a so-called grounding mat that's really
good luck
causing them to become part of a circuit. And
that's crazy. It's crazy. No, these are home remedies that in many cases are catastrophic in their potential, and it's being played out. It's happening. You're just not being. We have no way to track it, no way to really certify someone died of taking a copper supplement. But you can't discount that on the basis of science. Taking iron, taking copper, not a good idea. Not unless you really know what you're doing, and very few people do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the issue with copper is that the blood, when you have a blood test, is very seldom representative of what's actually being stored or held in the tissues when it comes to copper. Copper needs to be transported around the body on proteins, because otherwise it's toxic. And usually it's not an issue of a copper deficiency, it's an issue of not having the proteins to transport the copper. So, I mean, you can have very low levels of copper in the blood and have sky-high levels of copper in the liver, primarily the liver, but then it also is stored in the brain. And, you know, when it gets to a certain level, it will cause neurodegeneration.
Right. All right, let's see what else we have. We've got about four minutes. Okay. Father succumbs to vax, lumps, vax appearance changes. Let's do that. All right, can you find those?
That's, what date are you on?
December 4th, at the bottom. Appearance changes. Shedding from boosters. We shouldn't even use the term boosters. Forget that. It's a dose. Just forget it. Forget that's a trick. It's not a booster. It's just another dose.
Yep. All right. Which one are we doing?
Appearance changes. There's four.
December 4?
Yeah. At the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see him.
All right. Okay. Go ahead and take the first one.
Has anyone in this group experienced a drastic change in appearance since getting vaxxed? I feel like I've aged 10 to 15 years in a matter of 2 years. Facial muscles have started to droop significantly. My eyes have started to droop as well, and they look dead and lifeless. My skin has become dull and aged looking. My hair has become dry and almost straw, like hay. And has also thinned, and my facial structure has completely changed.
Wow. All right, the next one in the thread, I've developed ME, Maestro. ME from COVID.
Oh, myeloencephalitis.
Ah, that was my second guess. All right, okay. I've developed myeloencephalitis, ME, from COVID, and I have the same issues. I think many vax-injured people have ME, too. I've lost a lot of muscle. ME is a disorder of the autonomic nervous system. We are stuck in the stress response, and stress is known to cause rapid aging. Then add on top of that even more stress from dealing with this nightmare. And that ages us even further. My skin has become very stretchy and loose. My muscles feel like jelly. My family have noticed it too. I used to be very slim and toned. Now I feel like an 80-year-old. And someone replies, yes, collagen issues. Maybe, I don't know. Another response, oh yes, when I am looking at the picture of myself from early 2021 and from today, I look like I've aged 10 years in just 3. Take the next one.
Okay, this one says, absolutely, at age 40, when I got the vax, I looked like I was in my mid-20s and had extremely elastic skin and perfect alabaster pale skin. I'm now 44, and while I still look young for my age, I always look exhausted, sick, with red eyes. My skin is bruised from head to toe, and especially the skin on my face is blotchy in different colors. My weight has dropped drastically, and even though I have been very thin before, my skin is loose, which has never happened to me. And another, yes, thinned out face, even though I put back weight after losing lots, not being able to eat, etc. My hair is mostly gone. Skin is terrible. Muscle wasting and eyes and others drooping. But I've been from 35 to 38, so how much is normal, I don't know. But it's a big difference.
Ditto. Also lost 3 teeth in a year on the same side as facial issues. Perfectly healthy teeth. Literally just came out of the socket. But apparently there's nothing wrong with us, and it's just our medical histories catching up with us. And a reply to that, yes, lost heaps of muscle tone in my arms as well, sort of everywhere. But then again, I'm also getting older. Next comment, I've aged 30 years in the space of 3. Next person. Sometimes it's like my face looks gray. I swear it's pure poison, the vaccines. May the Lord be with us all. Next. Yes. Oh, my God. It's so heartbreaking. I'm literally saying this every day. Next. My face, skin is droopy and wrinkled since the vaccine. My hair is thin and dull now. It was thick and shiny before. My skin is dry and flaky. I've been diagnosed with CIDP since the vax. I'm like a totally different person since taking that injection. And another comment, yes, the same thing happened to me. And one final one here on this page. Take the next one. It's shorter, I think. I aged 20 years. I used to get carded at 36. And I swear I look like I'm retiring soon now. My whole face has dropped an inch.
All right, another one. So much. White fluid-filled body and gave no color and droopy. Gained weight and lost significant hair. Thankfully, I've found something that's helping, and my hair has started to grow back with some treatments I'm using, and I'm excited about that. I also had comments that my face is starting to look like me again, which is a blessing. I also wanted to add that I'm a hairstylist, and I definitely think people's hair has thinned and gotten more brittle.
Ah, they'd know. There you go.
Next, absolutely. My skin is loose, and I have physically aged a lot to the point where I don't feel like this is my body. Wrinkles, constant bags under my eyes, dark, dry hair, muscle loss all over my body. It's devastating. Another one, yes, I wonder, accelerating aging is part of the plan? And the last one, before the shots, I was 50 and still being asked for an ID. 8 months later, he gave me a senior's discount, and I didn't even ask for one.
Wow.
It's tragic, utterly tragic.
I don't think we can chalk this up to simple changes in collagen either. There's something much more sinister going on at the same time.
Well, you know, the root of it all is oxidative stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that'll do it. It just wears you down. Premature
sure.
aging.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up tonight for us. It's a look at the aging issue, and we've heard this for several years now. From the beginning, people were saying that they look older after taking the shots. It wasn't very long after they rolled them out. We started to see that routinely. You've heard about shedding and turbo cancer and the potential of ALS and CJD being spread as well through shedding. Be careful out there. Use common sense. If you don't want to address it, don't. It's up to you. It's up to you. But we hope you'll listen and perhaps take this seriously, because nothing is more serious than your life. Okay.
Mm.
Excellent job. Go to bed, young lady. Get some rest.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. You too.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Okay. We will be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.